In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. I haven't heard a lot of hubbub this year about what everyone is giving up for Lent. I'm not telling you have to. I mean, if you have taken on a Lenten discipline, you don't have to tell me, so that's okay. I hope everyone has considered some Lenten discipline. But at the heart of what God wants us to do as repentant people isn't to place more rules on ourselves just so we can say we've followed more rules, because that's pride. There's an old story, and I think it's been made into a cartoon, where two monks get into an argument about humble. I'm more humble than you. No, you're not. I'm more humble than you are. There's not really an end to that fight. Again, I believe Lenten disciplines are valuable, as we're called by the church to prayer and repentance, study of God's word, amendment of our lives, and more intense and intentional charity during the season of Lent. Those are all good exercises. They are spiritual things. But keeping track of how well or how poorly you did it goes against the spirit of Lent. I'd rather have a four-step thought process to share with you about how we ought to approach our lives in Christ. The four words are learn, discern, confess, and live. We have to be willing to be defined. And we live in an age where the world tells us you can make yourself whatever you want to be. The problem with that is we really don't understand our own place in the universe and in reality, because we're tiny. An ant may understand its place within its community, but it has no perception to understand its place on the globe or in all of creation. And next to the immensity and the depth of the reality of God's truth, we might as well be ants. My life experience is a little bubble. And it's different than your bubble. Anybody ever heard someone who's, sort of like in their early 20s, talk to somebody who's in high school and say, "I can't wait for you to see the real world"? But I've also heard people who do heavy manual labor say that to academic people. You don't live in the real world. I've heard soldiers say it to civilians, and you take it. The problem is there is no one real world. My world is real to me. Your world is real to you. And every one of them is incredibly limited, and the horizon is not very far away. And so for me to understand what it means to be human, I need to be told. I need to learn who I am. And unlike the ant, we can learn from God who we are. We can learn from God our place in his reality. You want an exercise in futility? Sit down with an ant one day and explain to him the ecology of the planet. It's not going to work real well. And maybe God's word doesn't come to us as thoroughly as he would like it or we would need it, but we are able to receive the word of God. We are able to hear the story. Whether it's literally true or not, the truth of Genesis says God placed us on the earth and gave us our identity. You are to be stewards of this earth, and there are things which you are to care for, and there are limits you are not to cross. In the case of our story today, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan challenges that identity. What God said isn't true. It'll be better if you do what he says not to. And so we have two voices trying to teach us who we are. In the story of the temptation of the Lord, Satan does the exact same thing. If you're the Son of God, turn the stones to bread. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple and then worship me, and you can have all the glory of the kingdoms of the earth. So he's challenging the identity that Christ had learned and received from the Father. By definition, the Son of God functions in subjection to the Father. If the Father says, you will live, I don't need bread. The Father said he would watch out for me. But challenging him by testing him, that is not how this relationship works. If I worship you, I'll get all the kingdoms of the earth. I'm pretty sure my Father told me that I was already the heir to the kingdoms of the world. Not sure your challenge is valid. And we receive much of that same instruction. Now, most everything that's said of Jesus as being the beloved Son of the eternal God is also said of us. We are beloved. We are sons and daughters of the Almighty God. He does send his angels to protect and guard us. And just like Jesus, we are tempted to worship something other than God to get some short-term effect. God tells us who we are, and we need to learn it. But we are not asked to simply learn a formula of things that are true, swallow it whole, and never question it. Because we are told to discern. If I take Satan's identity, or Satan's challenge, instead of being a being who is created to worship God the Eternal Father, and I worship Satan, or I worship some other power, or I put my hope in some other thing, will I really inherit the earth? When you have hitched your personal wagon to something other than God, has it not led to your downfall and your frustration and your fear? Discern. Is it what God has taught you who you are, or what Satan whispers in your ear? God says, I will care for you, but you must be obedient. You must not be foolhardy. You must not be arrogant enough to test me. There's a difference between discernment and putting God to the test. Putting God to the test means I know the laws of gravity and I'm going to jump off this cliff anyway. God doesn't usually make exemptions to the laws of physics. Once in a while it seems like he does, but not very often. And not when I want him to. Is it God's instruction to be wise and I will walk with you? Or is it Satan's instruction? Test him. He might not be telling the truth. Discern. Do I live by what God says or what I can provide for myself? Turn those stones into bread. Jesus says, I don't actually need bread to live. If God says, you live, we live. How many of us have relied on our own smarts and our own wits and our own powers to make our lives better, and it all falls out from under our feet? Because we're living by what we can create rather than what God gives. So we learn that we are created, that we are subject to the power and the authority of God. We're told these things in the scriptures over and over again, and yet there's a challenging voice. We learn, now we discern. Is it what God teaches that makes a whole, complete, healthy life, or is it that other voice? I would dare say that every single one of us in this room has found that when we listen to that other voice, things don't go well. The spirit suffers. The spirit is emptied. The spirit is in turmoil. Learn and discern. Third, confess. One of my favorite passages in the scriptures in Deuteronomy, as Moses is giving some of his last instructions to the people before they cross into the promised land, he says, when you get into the land and you have sown your first fields and you have in that fall reaped your first harvest, take the first cutting and go stand in front of the Lord God and confess. A wandering Aramean was my father. And God called him. And God made him a great nation. And God let us go down into Egypt, but God rescued us. And God put us here. This is who we are. Not only do I know it, I've learned it, I've discerned it, now I'm confessing it out loud. I am here, I am who I am, I have the blessings I have because God acted on me. God revealed himself, God revealed his power, and God put me in this place of blessing. When we discern it's true, we speak it. And we don't say that same creed that the Hebrews said, but in our liturgies, we confess that we are saved by the mercy and power of Jesus, that we are made right by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We confess that we are who we are because God acted on us. We confess what we have learned and discerned to be the truth. And finally, go live in accordance with it. Go live in harmony with that which you have learned, which has shown itself to be true. That which you confess on Sunday, live on Monday. You ever heard those people that say that, you know, they're Sunday Christians, they do all the right things on Sunday, and on Monday they act like scoundrels? Some people don't even wait till noon on Sunday. Live in accordance with what you have confessed. If you are forgiven, then forgive. If you have been given mercy, then give mercy. If you know that everything that you have is a gift from God, live in thankfulness. It's not a list of rules and regulations. It's a whole change of heart. As I said, I believe the Lenten disciplines have value. They have value outside of Lent as well. Every time that we allow ourselves by fasting to feel weak and a little bit vulnerable, and during that time of vulnerability, we say, God, Holy Spirit, come to me. Give me the strength that I am not providing for myself. We are growing and being changed in spirit. Every time that we give away some of our sustenance, some of our resource, we weaken ourselves just that little bit and rely on God to care for us as we care for others in giving away. Every time that we do that horribly wasteful thing of spending time in prayer, because on the world's balance sheets, prayer is a complete waste of time. It doesn't make you any money. It doesn't give you any status. It doesn't give you any power in the world. So why would you do it? You're giving away a chance to make of yourself more by kneeling in front of God and giving up all those things you might gain, asking God to fill in anything that you might need. We must learn who we are. And because God has revealed himself to us and made us in his image, we are able to discern that what he has taught us is true. And when you have discovered the truth, confess it with your mouth and then go forth and live within it. Lent can be beautiful. Lent can be powerful. But only if we enter it in spirit instead of rule. Amen.